Welcome to the Produce Industry Podcast Global Fresh Series, your audio source for international produce markets, trends, market reports, and community discussion. Join us somewhere in the world as we cover all aspects of the international produce and supply chain industry. Ladies and gentlemen, here is your host, Juanita Galio.
Guten Morgen and welcome to the Global Fresh Series, and I'm starting my day in German because our guest is coming to us from Bonn, Germany. So stay tuned. This is your front row seat to the pulse of the produce world as we crisscross continents and dive deep into their fields, packing houses, and innovations that keep the global fresh produce industry thriving. From the soil to the shelf, we're bringing you stories that are crisp, bold, and full of flavor, as you will see with our guest. Now, whether you're driving change in sustainability, navigating supply chains, building retail experiences, or just have a thing for great tasting food as I do, you have found your people. So grab your passport. It gets stamped again as we move to Germany today. With your curiosity and maybe a ripe piece of fruit, you're in the right place because we're about to get fresh. And it's Wednesday, July 30th, 2025, and I'm your host, Juanita Galio, reporting live from Long Beach, California. So let's dig in. Today, as I mentioned, we take you to Germany, where the IPD, the Import Promotion Desk organization, is located. They play a major role in driving imports to the German market by opening up new supply sources for importers and tour operators in select countries. Since 2012, the organization has played a major role in matching supply partners with German companies, from fresh produce to digital services and products beyond that. We're talking fresh flowers, coffee, chocolate. They currently are active in 21 countries. And after the commercial, we are joined by one of their value chain specialists who is constantly traveling the world, meeting with these potential partners. I have really enjoyed viewing her LinkedIn post. It's kind of, where in the world is she? So you'll learn. I'm not going to mention her name. I'll introduce her to all of our listeners after the commercial. But right now, let's take a quick look to see what is going on. There's been a lot more news with avocados, as I had an avocado CEO on last week from Mexico. But now we're going to look at Chile, because Chile has had a stellar moment with avocados. They had a record-breaking volume with a total production of 240,000 tons. That is a 15-year record high. Unbelievable. Unlike Colombia or Mexico's avocado exports, Europe has been over the past 6 years and continues to be their primary export destination, taking 57% of Chilean avocado shipments, representing 77,000 tons, whereas North America only makes up 8.5% of the Chilean avocado shipments. That's very interesting. They make up 8.5% of the Chilean avocado shipments, and the total avocado production area has remained stable at about 74,000 acres. But what has contributed to this increase in avocado volume is Chile's favorable weather, which has improved the fruit set, and they have adapted to new agricultural technology and management practices. So as we see, this new agricultural technologies are starting to be adapted and adopted to. And as you see, they haven't had to really increase their acreage. They've just moving on to new technology and management practices. So kudos to Chile for moving on, increasing yields with these new agricultural technologies. We're also going to mention that avocados from Morocco, because when I think of Morocco, I've spent some time there, I think of citrus. It's huge with citrus. But suddenly I'm seeing that avocados are really beginning to surpass. No, I don't know if they're surpassing citrus, but they're really beginning to take off, because Europe is beginning to benefit from this impressive growth. And Morocco has been trying or kind of cultivating this for 15 years. Not only has production grown to 100,000 tons last year, but they have also met significant quality that meets the strictest European standards, as well as many growers now holding certificates required by European retailers. Morocco avocados are well on their way for continued growth, positioning them as a competitive choice among the variety of countries to source from. And perhaps the IPD organization played a role in helping to cultivate and drive Morocco avocados, as well as other countries, to partner with German wholesalers. I'm going to be asking our guest this as we bring her on. Before we introduce her, let's take a look at our delicious sponsors that keep nourishing our show. Our first-class sponsor is proudly Canadian, proudly Manitoban, as we saw as we were visiting them. They are peak of the market, a privately owned company for more than 80 years, dedicated to bringing you the highest, freshest quality produce straight from their fields. Manitoba fields are now buzzing at peak of the summer with peak of the market. They are delivering fresh zucchini, cucumbers, and kale straight to stores. Our next sponsor, again, Colombia Avocados, are booming with triple-digit annual growth, and their expanding volume means major opportunity for buyers now and all year long. And in fact, avocados from Colombia, they have just announced they have introduced the Avocados from Colombia brand to the U.S. market. And this announcement comes at a time when Colombia avocado shipments have reached a record-breaking volume export to the U.S. market at 85 million pounds in the first half of 2025. So kudos to Manuel Michel, the managing director of Colombia Avocados. He has played a big role in cultivating this. This is a great job. So we're going to have a two-minute commercial from our fabulous sponsor, Jack Vandenberg, and I love this commercial. And afterwards, we will finally meet who our guest is. So stay tuned. Don't go away.
120 years ago, in Groningen, the Netherlands, a small produce business began, trading fresh local fruits. By the 1930s, the Vandenberg family moved to Rotterdam, Europe's burgeoning fruit hub. But when the 1940s brought turmoil, they fled to America, rebuilding their legacy in fresh produce. In 1958, Jack Vandenberg became a trailblazer, importing fresh Chilean fruit to the US, opening doors to global flavors. Today, that spirit of growth and innovation continues, with sustainable packaging, carbon footprint tracking, and the finest fruit varieties. We're redefining freshness for the future. Family, fresh, innovation, celebrating a legacy 120 years in the making. This is Jack Vandenberg.
Thank you, Jack Vandenberg, for your wonderful sponsorship of the Global Fresh Series, but also for those delicious Sunray grapes and citrus, particularly at this time of the year during the summer. Now, let's move on and find out who our guest is. I want to preface this with I have been chasing her for almost 2 years. Starting 2 years ago at Fruit Logistica, I came across this exhibitor booth that was just buzzing. I mean, I really noticed. I thought there's something going on there. I want to check this booth out. The organization is called the IPD, the Import Promotional Desk. It's a German organization. Never heard of it. Wanted to know more about it. And as I learned that it is an organization that is backed by the German government to promote trade, and these sourcing specialists like Dora go out and are constantly on the move throughout the world. I mean, I love reading her LinkedIn posts because you never know where she is. It could be anywhere from South America to somewhere in Africa to Asia, where she's meeting with partners, looking at sourcing anything from chocolate, fresh flowers, fresh produce, to match them up with wholesalers, retailers in the German market. And I think she has probably one of the most interesting jobs that I have come across, because not only does she get to travel, but she gets to get right into the country with the people and find out what they are about and help to grow their economy by finding them partnerships back in Germany. So this is, I'm going to thank you for patiently waiting as I've described all this. I'm so excited to finally have gotten her acceptance to be on the show. Her name is Dora Zeri. She has been with the IPD for about 4 years, and her specialty is in sustainable education and fair trade. So Dora, let's hear a bit about your background, because you've been there 4 years, but I know you have been on the sustainable path for quite some time.
Thank you very much, Juanita, for having me. So I just wanted to correct a little bit. I was active in sustainable sourcing more than sustainable education. That was just the only thing. Okay. So I've been working with IPD for almost 4 years. IPD is a project that's been there since 2012, as you correctly said. We are the organization responsible of our project is called SEQUA GmbH. It's a non-profit organization and non-profit for development. So the ministry, the German Ministry for Development and International Cooperation, is the one who basically finances the project IPD. We work in also in close cooperation with other projects such as the GIZ and others. An import promotion desk, as its name indicates, it's to help importers in Europe, in Germany and Europe, find sources of raw material or processed products, or also, as you said, we are in other sectors such as IT, such as cut flowers, such as sustainable tourism. And the idea always is to link the producer, the products the processor or the service provider with the buyer or the importer in Europe. That's in a nutshell.
This is very interesting, because it's not, even though it's backed by the German government, it's not exclusive just to Germany. You said that throughout the EU, so someone from France or Poland could also come to you and say, we're looking for a source for flowers or chocolate. What seems to be the most popular item? Is it fresh or maybe processed?
So in the team, we are organized in different sectors. So we have these different sectors that you named, which are fresh, processed, cut flowers, IT, tourism, and seafood. So each of us has a special sector, and then we are divided in countries. So between all what's processed and natural ingredients and fresh produce, there is a lot of countries and a lot of colleagues that are involved. And I would say both have different markets, and that is why we go to different trade fairs. So I wouldn't be able to compare both, because, of course, under each of them there are...
Understand now. Yeah, I'm getting the big picture, right?
Yes.
And you have 21 countries that this organization covers.
Exactly. So we are working in Africa, Latin America, and Asia. Among the latest countries that we started working with are Brazil and South Africa. So I, as you just said, I was running from one place to another. I just came back from Brazil. In Brazil, I'm responsible for the sector of processed, while my colleague Thomas is responsible for the fresh sector. So I visited producers, exporters of cacao and derivatives, as well as processed fruits, such as fruits that are specifically grown there, such as acerola. Known for its vitamin C, for instance. So I met processors of acerola, for instance, of cashew. The way we work, it's always working with the local partners from each country to get their input, to see which synergies we can have together as a project. The idea is to help with our knowledge of the EU market in the selection of companies that we will together then with the partners bring to B2B events such as Fruit Logistica, Fruit Attraction, right, for instance, for the fresh.
Now, when you travel to these countries and meet with them, do they already know the strict regulations to enter your, there's a number of different certificates. So are they, do you help them get these certificates? Because I would think there's a lot of paperwork and process to get them, mm-hmm, or have they already been in process?
So the selection process, basically the idea of the project is really a kind of the last mile for export.
Oh, perfect.
Europe.
Okay.
So in the screening of the selection with our partners, we always try to target the ones that already have been exposed to these rules, are either working, for instance, to get on their global gap at least, and then other social certificates that are more and more demanded. And if they have an interesting product, they have the capacity to export, but the certificate is missing, for instance, they would be in our pipeline and we would follow with them until they're ready. Once ready, they would be one of the companies we recommend, because of course, importers, buyers would like to buy something that they can sell. They need to be certification. So we don't help technically in paying for certification, but we help them with the knowledge of which certificates do I need for this market.
Right. You said you show them the roadmap.
Exactly. And then we work with the local partners to help them do the technical part of getting certified.
Right. And are they also, I'm tuned into maybe cultural differences as well.
Mm-hmm. Because so among the capacity buildings that we offer to the companies, so the way we work is we work in these 21 countries in these different sectors I named with a team of colleagues. We are about 12, if I'm not mistaken, doing the same work of expert sourcing and markets, going to the country, selecting the companies with the help of our partners. Once they come in the program, there are different capacity buildings that are adapted to the level of the company. So depending on where they're starting from, there is a different.
Got it. Okay. Thing.
And one of them is, how do I approach buyers in Europe?
Exactly. That's what I was thinking about. Yes. Because that is a big deal. I mean, you could have a great product and get it into market, just like I reported a few weeks back about Chile has decided to really capture the Chinese market with their cherries. And China's really captivated. They like the cherries. You know, it's a big deal. It's a high-priced item. It's a gift. But the success depends as well on how well you can deal with the culture. And China, I can't imagine, is so foreign.
It's among the selection criteria, there are always also soft criteria, as we explained. Mm-hmm. And one of them is, of course, readiness to adapt and to be able to communicate with the EU prospective buyer. And communication is a very, very important point. Yeah, sometimes you have a company, the product is great, the certifications are there, the quantities are there, everything is perfect, but they don't have, maybe they're still a small SME, they don't have somebody who does the communication, so they receive an offer, it's very good, but then they delay getting back to the buyer, and you know the buyers of, especially in the fresh sector, they are...
Oh, it has to move quickly. Yes, they have to fill the gap.
So that's follow-up and how to follow up is one of our big themes of trainings of not only is my product ready with all certifications and quality, but I'm there to answer questions from buyers.
Right. Wow. Mm-hmm. Well, I want to get more into this in detail. For example, I want to know, what are some of the biggest challenges in trying to get these people to, like you said, they have everything you need, but don't let this fall through the cracks, because then you could lose the business. So let's talk a bit about that after we come back from commercial, because we're going to cut to a quick commercial from all of our sponsors are fantastic and we appreciate everyone. So let's cut to that and we'll be right back.
Zag Technical Services, we do many things. Managed services for IT needs, including consulting. Another area of expertise for us is cybersecurity, making sure that there's awareness and risk prevention. And then the final piece is the data and software services, where whether it's software automation, data management, even AI, we have things that we can do to help your business. Those are core components that your company relies on. So we have a rich history of being able to manage these IT services so that you don't have to worry about them. You trust us so that we keep your operations going and your business going ultimately. When we talk about what AI can do for you and the time savings, even though you don't think you have something that you can just put AI in, you probably do if you have a business case that could be benefited from automation or efficiencies that are brought in. We can trust AI to do those things. And the beauty of that is you can free up time for your employees to do more meaningful work. So even if you think you may not benefit, I think it's worth a conversation because you will be surprised. We'll walk you through every step of the way and we're here to help.
Thank you to Zag Technical Services. They are definitely very valuable right now with all the cybersecurity attacks, most recently with Whole Foods and Amazon here in the U.S. And I know that I'll address that a bit with Dora to see if what's going on with cybersecurity in Europe. But if you are just joining us, welcome and a big thank you to all of our fabulous sponsors and our listeners. We really appreciate you joining us each Wednesday. So let's continue our discussion with Dora Zary. She's a sourcing specialist for the German organization IPD, International Promotion Desk, which is backed by the German government. So Dora, we left off with anything. Yeah. You're starting to train the partners for a collaboration with a retailer or a wholesaler within Europe. And what I was wondering, what seemed to be the biggest challenges? Is it the communication or, packaging? Anything there that you see over and over again that you really have to drive home with some of these partners?
Yeah. So thank you very much again for having me. So the project really has a focus on small and medium-sized enterprises, cooperatives and organizations that are starting to export to Europe. But at the same time, we need to make sure that they do have the products and the certificates needed to be able to provide their products and sell them to Europe. As we said, sometimes points such as certification, quality, product quantity are all there, and the sale doesn't happen. As you rightly mentioned, communication is key. I guess from your field, you know this.
Yes, that's really, and that has to be really, I would say, shade, really sad, really too bad.
Yeah. Yes, we do all have, me and my colleagues, we are about 13, actually I counted again now. Our official name is Expert Sourcing and Markets, because we go in the countries, select the companies, and then we do introduce them to the EU market with the support of our expert consultants. We work with a group of consultants that each come from different background of a different country. Some bring the UK market, some bring the French market, some mm-hmm. bring the Spanish market, and each has a sector specificity. So some are in the fresh sector, they accompany us to the fruit attraction, fruit logistica, and others are working in all what's processed, maybe with more emphasis on cacao or more on coffee or more on cosmetics or ingredients.
Yeah, that's right, because some of these fresh products are also used for cosmetics.
Yes, indeed. And so that's why we, as a project import promotion desk, we do follow the sectors as per trade fairs also. So that's why
I've seen that. You're in a lot of different you're in ingredients trade fair.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So we are an ingredients trade fair, and I would say like that is one of the most diverse sector where we work, because basically all that comes from nature and is processed somehow,
In
dried, frozen,
something, even
inside.
what you think of pharmaceuticals.
Exactly. For instance, the food ingredient Europe has a lot of high-tech products, and we do take companies that we have sourced from all these 21 countries. There, we go to the Biofach, to the food ingredient, to various in cosmetics,
So
Anogansial.
how much time do you spend traveling?
So it's as we are splitting this between colleagues, usually each person has a country and a sector linked to it. For instance, me personally, I am, you were talking about Morocco, so I wanted to
Yeah,
I'm
I love
responsible.
Morocco.
Yeah,
Tell us
I'm
about
responsible,
Morocco.
for
Were you,
instance,
and did you
responsible
play
for.
a role in bringing these avocados to Europe from Morocco?
I think avocado from Morocco is going to be seen more and more. It's of course it's the proximity to the EU market,
Exactly.
and the climate is also
Really
there
favorable for growing
favorable.
many things, yeah.
Exactly. For instance, in Fruit Attraction now, we will have with us one company from Morocco that has avocado. And it's the Moroccan partners there, Morocco Foodex, they are very well organized in a system of local auditors all over Morocco. Work with them, for instance, to select companies that they have already trained on the part that you mentioned, technically have the certificates. We go visit again, and then we decide, okay, they are ready. They also have the communication skill. That's it. We go with them to the trade fair. And for instance, Saeed from Moroccan White Trade, the Moroccan company with the avocado, has a lot of people interested in his products because it's avocado and also berries, which you mentioned both.
Yes, and I would think it, Morocco would be so favorable. Well, they probably don't have the type of volume from, I mentioned some of the other countries. I think it was Chile bringing over all the avocados into Europe versus to the U.S. market. But the proximity would be perfect.
Yeah,
Shorter time arrival. Quickly getting the
exactly.
product out. And the products. I mean, again, Morocco from being there, it's hugely agriculture.
Yeah.
I know there's really well known for flowers as well and perfume.
And yes, indeed, there's also all what's related to ingredients in general. So, for instance, in the ingredient sector, we also have companies with saffron, with roses. There's a cooperative which is also fair trade certified. So I knew this company when I was working in fair trade. Also, it's a women cooperative, and they've had very interesting meetings and talks with buyers who are into sustainability and want to introduce these roses in their recipes, for instance. Yeah. For avocados, this year we have about six companies that will be participating to Fruit Attraction. There are some from Kenya, the Moroccan, there is Peruvian company, for instance, and a Colombian, which is more usual, right? To know avocados coming from these countries than
Yeah,
from Morocco.
Colombia is really making headway into with their avocados, as I mentioned, with the U.S. market and other markets as well.
Yeah, and following up on avocado is also one company from Egypt that I sourced that is coming with avocados too. Let's see how that works. It's the
Are
first
they going to
time
be at Fruit Attraction?
they
This
will
is
be at Fruit
okay.
Attraction. Yes.
And now these companies will have their own stands, right? Their own exhibits. Or
So the concept of IPD in general at the trade fairs, as you probably remember, it was very busy. It was very
Oh
busy
my
because.
gosh. Yeah, as I said, you were the it was like bees buzzing. And that's why I was like, what's going on over there? I've got to find out.
Because
Are they getting money over there?
it's the concept of a group, it's a group stand. So the idea is that all the companies that participate with the support of IPD and the local partners in the different countries where these companies come from, the idea is that either they secure a
Contracts,
booth.
maybe.
Yeah, they secure a booth with their country pavilion, which of course is the perfect option because the buyers, when they think Morocco, they think Morocco booth, official. And if that's not possible, then they come with us to the IPD booth. And the IPD booth is more of a speed dating kind of booth, especially for the as you remember, it's lots of little tables. And the idea is that right now, to give you an idea, for instance, the list of companies participating to Fruit Attraction is set. It's 31 countries.
Wow. Yeah.
My colleagues from marketing are finalizing the brochure. The brochure mm-hmm. will be sent to a list of from our CRM, which we have built year after year since mm-hmm. 2012, of buyers who by now expect to receive this mailing. And then they will be contacted by our team of matchmaking consultants to again say, you received this brochure. Are you interested in such and such mm-hmm. product? Okay, we set a meeting for you at the trade fair. And the meetings are the ones that happen at those tables that you saw very busy.
Yes, yes.
And of course, people who pass by and see it's busy and they're suddenly interested. So they ask, is there avocados? Are there citrus producers or something like this? So that's the concept of the booth. For ingredients, we offer the companies also the possibility to expose some products because ingredients is a bit more mm-hmm. important on this side. But not all companies opt for this, and it works as well also without them having their product exposed. But it's a group booth. That's
You must be a very, very popular organization that everyone at least wants to reach you in one way or the other, because either you're getting people are reaching out within Europe to say, can you find me this? Or you're getting the other angle from the country saying, we have this product. Can you find some? So this has to be very fascinating.
It's a very interesting, I would say, very efficient kind of project, because we do look into how these contacts that we make end into contracts. Mm-hmm. Right? So that's why the companies then do rely on our recommendations. Of course, we don't enter then in the agreements of how much and all this they do on their own, the buyers and the companies.
They make the negotiations between themselves.
They make the negotiations. There are trainings for the companies, especially the new starters, to learn about pricing, learn about how contracts are, how mm-hmm. to do. What can I do to select also? Because just as the buyers do select the companies where they want to source from, the companies that produce and export also should select who they sell to. So that's also training we do.
Now, in terms of doing business with, like I said, flowers or fresh produce in Europe, is it different in each country? I think in Germany, everything has to go through a wholesaler. Or do retailers like some of the large, like Aldi, will they source directly and have them come right to the distribution centers in Germany? How does that work?
How does it work? So this is a very good question. And the dream of every producer of fresh produce from all these countries where we work is to have their product with their name on the shelves.
Exactly.
So what we always say, of course, is that to reach that, there are some steps, right? And each supermarket works differently. I would say the big majority in general in Europe do rely on distributors, do rely on intermediaries.
The wholesalers. Okay.
Exactly.
That's what I thought. That was the impression I had coming to Fruit Logistical all these years, that the wholesalers play a big role.
Yes. Some supermarkets do have their own buyers within the internal to them, but a lot of them do rely on the distributors and the intermediate. And these people are also in our CRM, in our database. And it's also part of the first things we say to companies, because the first dream of everybody is, I want my berries at the supermarkets. I don't want to sell to middlemen.
Yeah, exactly. And it's interesting because here in the U.S., I don't think the wholesalers, I mean, we definitely have them, but especially with the larger chains, for example, Walmart, you go straight to it may come in from Peru or Colombia and straight to the distribution center. So that's very interesting.
But there are both, right? It depends on which chain we're talking. In the UK, it's different to Germany. Germany is different from France. And each kind of country is a little bit different. There are ones that rely more on the wholesale markets where they get this. There is also the distributors that provide up to 70% of the fresh produce line of a specific supermarket. Mm-hmm. So they are almost internal to the supermarket because they just work with that one. And basically they assume the whole quality part and the selection of the providers. So I would say it's very diverse. And the idea is that we try to have a diverse also portfolio of importers and buyers to propose to the suppliers, as and the same is done for the suppliers. We try to diversify the products, have a diverse database of producers and processors in all these 21 countries. For some countries, for instance, we don't source fresh in the program. Mm-hmm. For instance, in Asia, we are more focused in all what's more processed, all what's more ingredients, herbs and spices, nuts, essential oils, coconut, that's
that
processed
makes sense. Yeah.
Oil or milk or things like this.
What's going on with chocolate? I understand that chocolate is on the decline. Are you seeing that volume of chocolate?
So the cacao, yes. I think cacao beans in general are very much sought off, and I think it was all over the news that the cacao prices are going up, and the big brands are looking for alternative sources. There's been also some issue with the cocoa production of the biggest exporters, which are in West Africa, Ghana and Ivory Coast, and cacao industries are looking for new sources. They are in every country where there is cacao. So it's going to be interesting to see what happens. And now there are new regulations of the cacao boards in Ghana and the Ivory Coast regarding the prices. So let's see what happens. Now, when I was in Brazil, I visited Bahia, which historically is very known because the cacao, originally coming, of course, from Amazonas, was taking to the state of Bahia. And it was the cacao boom until the 80s, where there was a disease with cacao that basically...
was wiping out some of the crop.
Yes, resulted in decline of the crop. And they lost their position as the first... country in exporting cacao.
Oh, wow.
Now there are a lot of, now there is a lot of second generation that are taking back the farms and more interested in specialty cacao rather than commodity cacao. We in import promotion desk try not to work in the commodity part. So whether it's cacao or coffee, where we entered in these sectors rather recently, and we specialize more in these bean to bar derivatives that are high quality derivatives for chocolate makers in Europe that are looking for specific quality and certifications. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. When you're out in these fields, especially particularly in the cacao fields in Ghana and some of these other areas, I've seen and read that child labor is a big issue. How do you deal with that? Because that does fall under sustainability.
So, of course, the purpose of the working with the local partners and having a pre-selection for them and also visiting them is, of course, to make sure that this none of this is happening, that the workers are paid as per law, that there's no child labor. And for cacao, for the moment, as I said, we rather concentrate on the higher end of producers that specialize in varieties of beans that are of high quality. Mm-hmm. And sustainable certification is also very important for this product.
That's part of the certification as well.
Mm-hmm. Yes, indeed. Wow. So... and this goes also for all products. The purpose of the visits that we do in the different countries is also to check for ourselves what we received on paper. So we receive that they have, for instance, SA 8000 certification, mm-hmm. that they have GRASP certification, that they have rainforest,
global gap,
fair trade, all this part of the sustainability, in addition to the good agricultural practices, global gap, that now without global gap, there is no possibility of exporting to Europe. So that's, mm-hmm. that's the
so that's an incentive. That's an incentive for to keep mm-hmm. them, you know, straight and narrow on that if they want to have
exactly.
their products go into Europe. But I think it's a fascinating position because you're covering everything and several different continents and countries and culturally as well as you go in.
Yes, it's really interesting, especially for me coming before from the world of certification. Where I visited a lot of companies and audited them for fair trade, for instance, where
so
we look
perfect for you. You understand, yeah, the background.
Exactly. So I have other colleagues that have the background of food technology, other colleagues that mm-hmm. come more from trade. So we try to have a diverse teams that where each person brings something to the table, mm-hmm. and of course now all what's social environmental sourcing with all the laws of the supply chains are it's also very, very important. And we have a whole program on EUDR and mm-hmm. all the supply chain traceability, environment, social standards. That's also one of the trainings that we offer to the companies, but also to our partners, which are the business support organizations. Mm-hmm. Because at IPD, we work two levels. We work at the level of the business support organizations of the country, the partner countries, the 21 countries where we work
right.
now. So with them, we work into synergies and see what we can bring from our knowledge to exchange with them, whether it's training in their teams, so training of trainers mm-hmm. sort of programs, or whether it's in social certifications or on how we select companies that are part of the program and how do we organize a trade fair, depending on the countries. Some countries are very experienced, some countries never organized a trade
yeah.
fair. So that's why we work on these two levels, no? The level of the countries and their business support organizations and the level of the companies that we do.
Yeah,
select.
To help them get to the trade fair. I mean, getting to a trade fair like Fruit Logistica or Fruit Attraction, it's a lot of work.
Yes, it's...
There's a lot of details that go into it, especially
exactly.
if you're exhibiting. There's a lot of things that go into it, especially if you want to be successful and drive the attendees to your booth. Because there's so much noise there,
mm-hmm.
but you do definitely play a critical role in that success. Are there any other new countries coming down the pipeline? Right now, you have 21, but do you foresee any other countries that will be included in the near future?
The process of integrating new countries comes from the countries themselves, and then from the project here, from the whole team and the organization. We run it to see, is it interesting? Do they have enough companies that then could enter mm-hmm. in this B2B?
You have to qualify them. Even they may
exactly.
want to come, but you qualify them.
Exactly. And some countries, maybe they're already too advanced and the companies don't need support. So mm-hmm. there is the... and the purpose of the program is to, of course, exchange knowledge and then we're not needed anymore, and that the mm-hmm. business support organizations take over this part that we are doing, and that we go to another country where we do the same, because the purpose of the program is to help these countries have a...
You're building their
bigger
economy.
Thank you. to help them be known as a source of all these products, and mm-hmm. so working with them with the work they already do in promoting their country and selecting companies with the right products, and once this is already, like, the knowledge they have is extended with our exchanges, then if we're not needed anymore, we phase out of that country mm-hmm. and then take on another
Move
country
on.
Because the purpose is to help them do what they do even better, because mm-hmm. of course they've been doing it for many years, so they're knowledgeable about it. We just give a little bit of insight from the EU side and more export, more work for people. That's the purpose. And of course we make sure that the products that are selected once exported, don't have an impact on the consumers of the countries, the partner mm-hmm. countries. So it's usually products that are already being exported and don't affect the local consumers' access, for instance, to mm-hmm. product. That's also
It's very rewarding because all the way around, you're helping people. You're helping people in these countries to find new markets within Europe, and then you're helping the retailers, the people who need the supply, and the consumers who definitely will buy it within Europe. So it's a full on cycle that everyone benefits. And then you have a lot of fun getting to meet with all these people and make it all happen. So you're behind the scenes person.
But
I think it's fantastic. And I'm so glad that we finally had a chance to get deeper into this. I knew overall what it was about, but I didn't know all the details like you've just explained. So reaching our listeners, we do broadcast to about 100 countries and all B2B within the agriculture sector. If anyone is interested to contact Dora, you can contact her at Zairi, Z-A-I-R-I, at importpromotiondesk.de. And I will have, that will also be on the LinkedIn post when we post this onto the Produce Industry Network LinkedIn page. We'll have everything there. So Dora's going to have her hands full.
Thank you very much for this opportunity again. And I wanted to add that we will be in various trade fairs.
So
we
will be. And you have a book number?
Yes. So we will be the first next event where we will be Fruit Attraction in Madrid with the fresh produce exporters together with our partners from the different countries. So the booth is 12D11.
Okay.
And
I will be there as well. So I'll be visiting you.
We will be looking forward to receiving you, and you're welcome to come and talk to the companies that are there and any business support organizations from our partner countries, so they can give you also their perspective. After that, we will be at Anuga, which is just after it.
Yep, so, Anuga in Germany, in Cologne.
Exactly, in Cologne. And after that, we will be in Food Ingredients. So these are the next trade fairs where we'll be present for 2025. And we are happy to receive visitors in all these trade fairs. And you're welcome to contact us and ask if you're interested in either the program, if you are part of one of these countries, or if you're looking for a supplier for specific products.
Well, fantastic. I'm really glad we had you here on the Global Fresh Series. You heard it first here from Dora Zairi of IPD. We're going to go ahead and wrap this up. It's always our pleasure to have all of you listeners join us today. And as we say here at the Produce Industry Podcast, we will see you in the fields and on the horizon, somewhere out there in the agricultural world.
You've been listening to the Produce Industry Podcast Global Fresh Series with Juanita Galio. Be sure to subscribe on Apple, Spotify, and Amazon to get new fresh episodes. For more, follow us on Instagram and Facebook at The Produce Industry Podcast. Until next time, see you in the fields or on the horizon.